On today's episode of the Hot Nerd Podcast, we're going to talk about hybrid approaches. And what I mean by that are real life approaches, like how some of this stuff actually plays out a bit. We've been talking about the basics. I think this is important. So here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Howdy, hi, everybody. Sam Goodman. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am pumped. I am super duper glad. I am happy that you are here with me today having these amazing conversations about how we bring hop to life within our organizations, how we operationalize human and organizational performance within our work world. So there you go. Thanks for being here. How are things in your neck of the woods? I hope things are going extremely well for you. They're going great here. Busy, but like good busy. I've got some time coming up in like North Carolina. I've got some time coming up in Nevada. I've got some stuff coming up here in Arizona. That's been happening more and more lately, which is kind of interesting. I share that with you a lot, that I spend most of my time not in Arizona, which is kind of weird. I've got time here and there and everywhere, kind of all across the map. If you need a hand over the remainder of this year, or even starting into next, my next year calendar is already starting to get a good amount of dates on it. Let me know. thehopnerd@gmail.com. You can cruise over to the website, thehopnerd.com, and you can look at services and all the kind of sort of stuff that we do. But you probably already know all that stuff if you're here. You know, if you need help with that hop fundamentals workshop, if you need help with facilitating that learning team, if you want that learning team workshop, if you need that keynote speaker, and on and on and on and on. If you need someone to be your trusted partner on your human and organizational performance journey, get in touch. I share this with you, as I always say, because that calendar gets full. Yeah, it does. And I like to have a good chunk of time scheduled to be home. So if there are specific dates that you are looking for, specific events that you want me to be at, if you want that workshop and you want, you know, hop fundamentals on this day, and you want a 2-day operational learning teams, learning exploration, deep dive over the next 2 days, and you want it on this exact week, I'm cool with that. But you got to let me know as early as possible, because that date might not be there if you wait too long. So again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. As I mentioned in the intro, every time, follow along everywhere that you can follow along. That helps me an absolute ton. We just take this message farther. It's always amazing to me. Hold on, cold brew break. It's always amazing to me how few people actually know about human and organizational performance in the places that I go spend time. I've been doing a bunch of keynotes lately. And when you ask that question, you know, who's heard of hop? Who knows kind of what I'm talking about? Like, you get maybe like 4 or 5 hands go up in a room of sometimes 100, right? And these have been kind of safety conferences, quality kind of conference kind of things, leadership conference kind of things. And you say, who's doing this and doing this for a few years, you know, in a bit of a mature level in your organization? Out of those 5 or 6 hands, you might get like onesie twosies. Yeah. So we still have a really, really, really big awareness problem of human and organizational performance across industry. It's just not something that many folks have really touched, have not really heard of. And that's on us, right? That's on us as a community of practice. That's on me. That's on you. That's on all of us. That's why I try to share as many of these videos as we can. That's why we try to share as much information as we can, and those likes and those shares, and letting people know about human and organizational performance helps this message go farther. It helps get these resources, these tools, these thoughts, these ideas, these better beliefs, these assumptions. If we're talking about better questions, right, it helps us get those in their hands, in the hands of folks that can put them to good use. Now, I also want to tell you, to join the mailing list. If you haven't joined our mailing list, do me a favor and go join the mailing list over on thehopnerd.com. If you just go to thehopnerd.com, just scroll to the bottom of the page, click join the mailing list. Boom, there you go. Most pages, there's a little box. If you go to resources, there's a light box that pops up. It's all over the place. When you join that mailing list, you get a few things out of that deal. What we send you, you'll start to receive the weekly check-in. We send that out once a week. It's got recent podcast episodes, guest announcements. It lets you know when new episodes of the Hop Nerd Sideshow, you know, our other kind of behind the scenes business life, kind of everything else that happens in this world that's not us just talking about topics related to human and organization performance, safety, and on and on. It lets you know about that. It lets you know about recent videos, articles, and more. Anything that we've got going on. It lets you know about new merch drops and all kinds of just neat stuff. Occasionally, you'll get an email from me that lets you know about something exciting that we've got going on. So you'll get an email from me about like, hey, we've launched the app, the Starting Points app, or we've launched a new card deck. Check it out. If it looks like it's something that could be useful or valuable to you, check it out. When we launch new workshops, I've been asking you over the past couple episodes, hey, where do you want to see us do some of these workshops at? Hey, we've been thinking about doing a much larger event. No promises. Wink, wink. Maybe doing that in Phoenix. I don't know. Who knows? No promises. I don't know. We'll see. But would that be something that interests you? When those things happen, when we announce those things, it comes straight to your inbox. You don't have to like look through LinkedIn and they'd be like, a month after something goes down, you're like, oh my God, how did I not know about this? Well, algorithm. I think I get throttled on social media sometimes because I don't know, my posts aren't like right on LinkedIn. So sometimes you might not see what I'm posting. You just go over and join the mailing list and you'll see. You won't miss an event. You won't miss a new product or resource that we've got coming out. You won't miss a public workshop. You won't miss any of those things. And then finally, as a big thank you for joining the mailing list, if you go over and sign up, once you sign up, you'll get a couple emails. You'll get one from me that just directs you to the website that says, hey, thanks for filling out this form. It's just automated. It just kind of happens. But then the more important one that you get will give you a code. It will give you a code that tells you, hey, thank you for joining the mailing list. It means an absolute ton to us. Here's 20% off from something at the shop. So you just take that code, pick something out over at the shop, plug it in, 20% off. There you go. Boom. It's applied at checkout. You're ready to go. Yeah. Pretty stinking neat, huh? So just go to thehopnerd.com. Again, I'm not going to give you the address. Jesus, it's too early. It's super early in the morning while I'm doing this. I'm getting ready to go to the airport here in about the next 45 minutes before we have this conversation. But it's too hard to give you all these different addresses to go check out, right? You know, the ones I give you, startingpointcards.com, startingpoints.app, thehopnerd.com/this/that. Just go to thehopnerd.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and there you go. You'll see it in the little menu at the bottom, mailing list. Boom, click it. You just throw in your email and you're done. You get that 20% off. You get all those announcements coming to your mailbox right there. Boom, boom. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I like easy peasy, lemon squeezy. So with all of that said, let's just jump into today's episode. I'm having a nice Black Ruck cold brew this morning. Just got back, a super early trip over to the coffee shop with Jarrell. You know, I share that with you, our little kind of morning routine, getting ready to head to the airport. If you want to hear my reviews on cold brews, because that's a segment. We do segments over on the sideshow. Fancy pants, huh? We do cold brew review. So as I travel around, we talk about cold brews. We also do what's on the shelf. You know, my collection of junk behind me. It's not just junk. So I tell you some of those stories. And we talk to fun folks from all over. I think the last one that we had, the last person we had on, was Ray Gonzalez, and we had on Clive Lloyd, and we're going to have on many, 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 many more. I just told you I wasn't going to give you a bunch of addresses, but if you do go to thehopnerd.com/sideshow, you can be on the show too. You just scroll down the page and you'll see where you can leave a message. You can say, hey, Sam, let me give you a cold brew review. I just had this cold brew and let me tell you about it. Or, hey, I've got a question. Let's talk about that. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And you can actually do that for this podcast too. If it's something related to the main show, I'll just throw it over on here. You'll get your voice here on the podcast. Pretty stinking neat. So what we're going to talk about today, I'm getting caffeinated. If you can't tell, I'm getting excited. we've done a bunch of back to the basic stuff, and I'm going to start to move away from that, I think, and just continue down this path of hop in real life. I think that's an important topic to chat about. You know, I shared with you, you know, the basics of the basics, do the basics of hop play nicely with the basics of other things that we've done. And I shared with you, just to set the stage for this conversation just a bit, that, you know, I'm the very last person that's going to tell you that if something's working well for you, that you should stop doing something that's working well for you and just gut everything in your company and then just do hop. I think that's a load of crap. I think that's a load of crap. Anyone that tells you that, I think they probably don't know much of what they're talking about. And they probably know some of what they're talking about, but I don't know that they've ever done this in real life, in the real world, working inside of an organization like you and I have. You know, not in a capacity as a consultant. I think it's well-meaning and probably well-intended. I don't think it's anything malicious, but it just seems like really, really, really bad advice. So I'm the last person that's going to tell you that, hey, like, that's a traditional something. And just because it's a traditional something, even if that traditional something is working well, lockout, tagout, who needs it? Just do hop. No, come on, y'all. Really? Whoever's saying that out there, that you should do things like that, please, it's like, stop. You're giving all of us in this community a really bad rap, I think. Right? So I think the conversation today is, I said hybrid approaches. And what I mean by hybrid, I guess, more of blended approaches. What I really mean by that is hop in real life. And I want to walk through maybe a couple examples of that as we've kind of set the stage here. Let's maybe set some ground rules. Ground conversation. Is that a thing? Ground conversation? I don't know. Ponder that while I have another sip of this cold brew. This Black Rock cold brew is growing on me. It's not been my favorite, but it is growing on me. And it's really growing on me because it's right around the corner from my house. It's like 3 minutes away. So when we have busy mornings like today, I don't have to drive all the way over to my more favoritist spots that take me about 20 minutes, 15, 10 on a good day to get there. Phoenix traffic has been wild. Y'all, hey, look, if you're thinking about moving to Phoenix, we love you and all, but I think we're full. Not joking. Come, it's a great place to live. But some of that kind of ground conversation, I've settled on it being a word, maybe the framework in which we'll talk about this through, is this. If something's working well for you, I don't think you should just throw it away. Let's just put that in this first bullet point of don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think that's a fair place to start with that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Next up, and I shared this back during that last Do the Basics, Play Nice with the Basics episode. And again, I'm pretty sure, I haven't had time to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it comes from Brian Haywood. Many of you know Brian. Brian, if for some weird reason that you listen to this podcast, huge shout out to you. He had shared a slide that basically showed that hop isn't like a slice of the pie in your safety management systems or your HR systems. I'm going to add to this, Brian, or your HR management system or your continuous improvement system or this system. It's an operating philosophy, right? It's back to this not being a program. It's an operating philosophy that helps us create an environment in which learning is possible when we get really good at leading through those principles, because we're, again, operating philosophy up through our organization, not down to those that live in our organizations. As we get good at consistently leading through these better beliefs, assumptions, ideas, we create an environment not only where it's likely, but when we do that consistently and we prove it to people that we mean this stuff, then it becomes likely. So it's an operating philosophy. It gives us more information. It informs the design of our safety management systems. Through operational learning, we get to discover what's working well, what's not working so great, what's a massive headache, where are those areas where we think we're real strong but we're not so strong, and on and on and on and on and on. Okay, so let's bring it back here, and I'm going to reduce this down into a bit of a bullet point for you. But you know my take on the definition of hop. Right, this collection of better beliefs, assumptions, ideas, even though it's gotten me some heat lately. Unfortunately, there are different sides of the aisle of this, and from different sides of the aisle. But a collection of better ideas, beliefs, assumptions, thoughts, and ideas from diverse and varying sources that we apply through the lens of a core set of principles. The reason why I define it like that is because it doesn't just come from what we might put into a little box called a hop. It comes from hop, and it comes from safety differently, and it comes from HRO, and it comes from traditional safety. And it might even, some of it come from what we might refer to, even though some of us get mad when we say this, I don't know why, but it might even come from BBS, and it comes from here, and it comes from there, and it comes from here, and it comes from there. It's a buffet. It's not a pick this off the menu, and it's all of this and none of that. You get a sampler platter. You get to choose what works well for your organization. But these better beliefs, thoughts, and ideas that help us create an environment in which learning is possible, and when we get good at leading consistently through that operating philosophy of human and organizational performance, those better beliefs, ideas, and assumptions, when we do that consistently and we prove it, it goes from possible to likely. So how could we put this into a bullet point? I think it's something maybe like this. Let's take a stab at it. We make operational learning possible, right? So first one was don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The next one, it needs to be actionable. What should we call this? Maybe it should sound like continually improve operational reality through deep and meaningful operational learning. That's a little wordy, but how's that sound? Something like that? A focus on improving operational reality through learning. Something there, right? So that's the bullet point that we're going to stick with. A continual focus or continually focus. I'm doing this with you guys. I hope you realize this. I don't write this crap down. This is just a thought that popped in my head that we need to have this conversation, and we're having it. So you're right here with me in the thought process. That's pretty stinking neat, huh? But continually improve operational reality through a deliberate focus on operational learning over time. That's our bullet point. I'm not going to remember it again, so you got to hang on to that for me. Maybe you're jotting notes. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, number one. Number two, continually focusing on improving operational reality through a deliberate focus on operational learning. That was pretty close. You took the notes, right? How did I do? Did it come out okay? So those are our first two. So let's craft a third. I think three might be enough, and we might come up with another one as we continue this conversation a bit. But I think number three needs to be somewhere around micro-experimenting, tri-storming, solutioneering, all the fancy pants words that we put on, going out and figuring it out, giving it a shot. That's some of the struggle with maybe some of what we do in this world of HOP is there is a bit of here is the operating philosophy. Now we've got to play with it as an organization and figure out what works best for us. That might just be that other bullet point, that third bullet point. Through micro-experimenting, through operational learning and micro-experimenting, figure out what works best for your organization. And I know that's not an easy answer, but I'm the first one that's going to tell you that if someone's telling you that there's an easy answer, they're probably lying to you. I think so. I found that working internal to organizations. I spent the vast majority of my life doing this stuff internal. And when somebody would come in and say, hey, listen, my calendar's going off. When somebody would come in and say, listen, send me $100,000. Yeah. And I'm going to send you a box with a program in it. And then you just do that. And operational excellence is yours. Nope. I got the snake oil, right? The snake oil might have had like a little bit of morphine or something in it. It might make you feel good for a second. It might have had a little bit of cocaine in it or whatever they put in snake oil. It was heroin, right? It was typically heroin mixture, right? In a fancy pants glass. It might make you feel great for a second, but your problems are still there. There are no easy answers. And anybody that's trying to tell you easy answers are not just trying to tell you easy answers. They're usually trying to sell you easy answers. So you got to figure it out. You take those principles, you take those ideas, you take the bullet points that we're talking about right now, and you go figure it out. What works best for you? You've got to make it bespoke. It's got to be custom to your organization. Now, bullet point number four. I think it needs to sound like it. This was popping in my head as we were talking about these last three. It's something along the lines of this. Nothing is so sacred that we can't change it. Improve it, make it better. That's improve it. Nothing is sacred, including HOP. What? Yeah, it's not. It's not. Everything deserves to be drug out on the table, have a great conversation about it, internal to our organization, not with people that are trying to sell us crap, not with people that are practicing some of this stuff as religion, because it's not, dear God. It can't be. Nothing is so sacred that it does not deserve really deep and meaningful conversation, debate, argument, dissent, everything. right? From our approaches to the programs, to this procedure, to this rule, to that rule, to our 10 magical commandments that we went up on a mountain and we carved on some tablets and we brought down to our organization and said, these are our golden life-saving rules. It's just this simple, that you just do as you're told and nothing bad will ever happen again. All of that stuff, including the things that we're talking about right now, it deserves in our organizations to be pulled out into the sunshine and to have a meaningful conversation through the lens of where we're at as an organization, where we're trying to go. We need to have that conversation. So, final bullet point. Nothing is so sacred that it doesn't deserve conversation. Nothing is sacred. I think I'm just going to stick with nothing is sacred. Something like that. Yeah, how's that sound? So there are four really good bullet points as we start talking about how we operationalize human and organizational performance. Now, a couple maybe stories on how I've experienced this personally play out. One of the first ones that I want to bring up, because this is a common theme that I see. I've seen this question come up, and I don't know. I think some of it is because I live in this world, and many of you maybe live in this world. If you're nerding out on it as much as I am, many of you are out there doing this internally. Some of you are out there doing this externally as consultants, as resources to organizations. But I see some of these questions, and I go, huh, I thought people knew that. Right. And I think that's common. I've shared this with you in other pods where even during like keynotes or workshops, even in the back of my brain, I go, I don't need to say that. These people know this. They're going to think that they're dumb or something, which I don't at all ever. They're way smarter than I am. But if I say this, if I'm like, listen, let's have this really, really, really basic conversation about what this principle actually means. I'm sitting there going, well, if I say that, these people are going to, they're going to feel like I'm belittling them. They're going to think that like, oh, look at this guy. He thinks we don't know this stuff. Right? And that's my weird anxiety conversation that plays in the back of my head, even like mid workshop sometimes. And I've learned at least with that part of this, that when you think that, that is something you really need to say, because not everyone in that room has heard this because I've said it 1,000 times doesn't mean they have heard it 1,000 times. Back to what we were talking about earlier around raising awareness around HOMP and like, share, subscribe, do that. So it helps a ton with raising that awareness, putting a bunch of resources out there into this world. We want people to see them. We want people to use them, to put them to good use. When you ask people to raise their hand, have you heard of HOMP? 95% of the folks don't. They're like, I've never heard of that crap. So the point here is this, is that I've seen these questions from so many amazing folks out there asking this question kind of broadly to the internet, and seeing a lot of really, really great responses back from so many folks. I've been not playing on social media as much. I've been posting stuff and then running away. I'm busy, and you know, you just need a break from that stuff sometimes. It's the internet, Lord God. But I've seen some of it, and I've seen folks talking about it and providing some really great answers. But just like this one, just like around, I saw a question the other day about, yeah, but what about like, so HOP means that we don't do incident investigations, or HOP means that we don't do learning. Here's hybrid approach conversation number one, right? And these are just examples. These are not things that you should do or have to do. They're just examples of how I see a lot of this stuff kind of work well together, right? Back to that first bullet point. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Figure out what works best for your organization. What did we say about the other one? Nothing is sacred. And then there was the one that I got all wordy with and have stumbled with. I hope you took the note down, because I'm going to really struggle to remember it at this point in our conversation. We're 23 or so minutes into this thing. Continually focusing on improving operational reality. Is that what we went with? you know which one I'm talking about. You can go back and listen to it. But so that RCA question is a really good one. So as I talk about learning teams as an example, back to easy answers. If someone's telling you that learning teams, it's just so simple as doing operational learning. It's just so simple as doing learning teams and you're done. That's it. You've solved the world. They're lying. Yeah. The way that I describe learning teams a lot of times, or all the time really, is in this light. Learning teams are a tool in our toolbox of improvement, right? Of learning and improvement. I did not say that learning teams are the tool. I said learning teams are a tool, right? So a couple examples in this particular vein of root cause analysis, incident investigation, learning teams, how those things play nicely together. So I've seen several organizations that have gone down this path and like, we don't want to get rid of root cause. We did a bunch of operational learning. around our root cause process, whatever we're using, how we approach those things. It's not sacred. We drug it out on the table and we picked it apart and we talked about how it's not working well for us. We talked about how it's not working well for us with people throughout our organization. We had that conversation. As we started to live and lead through these better assumptions, these better beliefs, our root cause process and through this operational learning, it got way better. Like, it got way better. And then we learned that sometimes root cause will take us where we need to go. Sometimes it does. But then sometimes we're working our way through this process and we go, God, I don't think this is like we improved this, we improved this, we improved this, we found this, this worked. But right here, we're not quite getting where we need to go. We're not quite capturing the context that we need to capture. Action coming out of this little line of learning and improvement. The action is that we're going to go do a series of learning teams on this specific thing that we just uncovered from root cause. And we're going to co-create this improvement strategy, right, with those nearest to this thing after we understand all of that context. And boom. So the action, some of these actions I've seen in real life coming out of even using root cause analysis is the output of this isn't big, rapid fix. Well, how many of those exist? It's we didn't get quite where we needed to go. Let's do a learning team on this piece. Yeah. Hybrid approach, a blended approach. But we've taken this big something that we're trying to learn and improve on. We did some root cause. We also did some learning teams. We pulled those things together and we pulled those things together pretty nicely. That's kind of where we landed for the company that I was working internal to. Right. We dramatically improved our root cause process and we still continue to use root cause in certain things. Again, it's a tool. Root cause is a tool in our toolkit, just like learning teams are a tool in our toolkit. Sometimes you need more than one tool and we would pull those together where we needed to pull those things together, where it made sense to do so. More recently, I was spending time in an organization and we were having this conversation around accident investigation. Right. And we were having just a really, really powerful conversation around, OK, how's this work in real life? How's this going to work for us? And by us, I mean them. Right. How's this going to work for them? So I'm really just facilitating this conversation. And a really, really, really smart person in this organization kind of chimed up and said, I think it hit me. It hit me what this means. Incident investigation is still a very valuable tool for us. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, ding, 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 ding. It is. So back to thinking through those better beliefs and assumptions, living and leading through those better beliefs and assumptions, our tactics, they begin to change. Yeah. So our approach around incident investigation started to change, right? It started to change. So I'm going to pull a couple things together here for you. I'm sorry if it gets a little bit rambly, but it's just a great example of a couple different things coming into play and how we make this stuff work, how we make those principles actually function in real life. So I'm going to pull out the one that is the most highly contested principle from human and organizational performance, which is blame fixes nothing. Now I'm going to rephrase this for you because this is what I tend to do in real life, right? Not on the internet as we have this conversation, a meaningful conversation in keynotes and in workshops and in consultations with organizations. Let's rephrase that a bit. Let's make that a little bit easier for us to understand as an organization. Blame stops learning. And let's do that one more time. One more time. Let's just say, I think we can all agree that if you think that, okay, blame fixes nothing, that might not be true. Blame maybe does fix some things. I don't know. That's up to you. How do you feel about it? Let's say blame stops learning. Most of us are probably going to agree that blame stops learning. Some of us aren't. But maybe let's say it like this. Blame makes it harder to learn. I think that's something that we can all agree on. That when we use blame, it makes it harder for us to learn. When we use blame as like the hammer, like for everything, like anytime we have an operational surprise, when we're using blame in places where we don't actually have people problems, and that's the majority of what you're going to experience in your organization, you don't just have people problems. When we're using it as kind of that blunt torture kit of like, here's how we do this. This is a big blunt instrument. This is how we make things better. Blame, 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 blame. It makes it way hard to ever learn. You know less, right? You know less. So as we were having this conversation around incident investigation and learning teams and this idea that it's not this or that, the answer can and should be all of the above sometimes, right? Use what works best in this situation. That's probably the best answer. A couple key things that they did to begin with before we got to having this conversation. Leading through that operating philosophy is human and organization performance, doing operational learning. They bettered their accident investigation process. In particular, one of the first things that they did is they said that our process has got it backwards. One of the first couple steps in that process, like the first step, says something loosely like this: examine for wrongdoing. See where somebody messed up. And if you find that somebody messed up, you have 24 hours to find out if somebody messed up and blame, shame, and retrain them. Usually fire them, right? If you find that somebody messed up, you need to fire them. That was like step number one in the process. And you had to do it fast. You had 12 hours, 24 hours. You had like a shift, right? So something goes wrong. Unintended operational surprise. Check and see if somebody messed up. If somebody messed up, blame them. Move on with life. That's it. And if there is something to learn a bit more there, if it was real bad, then maybe we'll do a root cause. But we got our key action here. We blamed. Yeah. So one of the first tactical things that they did is they didn't just throw away their incident investigation process and say, we just do learning teams for everything now. What they did is they said, well, you know, this accident investigation process, it does, when it works well, it does give us a pretty good retrospective understanding of the event. It gives us a good understanding of the chain of events. It does give us the who, what, when, where, how. Like, it does give us those things. Now, some things we need to fix first. That we got to blame people first thing, we need to move that lever to the other side of the process. Uh-huh. Yeah, because if we go out and we just look for an error and we look to see if somebody messed up or if they made a mistake, we're always going to find that because that's always there. So we're setting ourselves up for failure. If we make that the first step in our process, then we're always going to find it and we're always going to stop there. We might do a little bit of fluff learning on the backside of that, but we know that we're applying blame where we shouldn't apply blame. And maybe let's just call that disciplinary action. We're using disciplinary action where we shouldn't use disciplinary action. We're using it for everything because if we look for it, we're going to find it and we're going to go down that path because the procedure tells us to go down that path. And we never go much deeper than that. Let's move that to the other side of the process. That is a tactical pro tip here. Move that to the other side. Rewrite that process. Like, I almost promise you that your process says something like that, because most people's do. And if it doesn't, good on you. But move that much farther down the line. If you have it there at all, move it to the other side. Move it to the other side. You're setting yourself up for failure if you have it at the beginning. So tactical pro tip, just do it. Rewrite that thing today, man. Like, put that on the other side. Seek to understand first. So they did that. And they did a bunch of other things, too. They're like, you know, this thing where we have to, like, interview people 47 times and like have written statements that then the attorney sign, and like the next step, we might as well like hire an internal police force and bring detectives in and have people beat them with phone books and put them under a heat lamp. You know, we might as well do that because that's what it feels like. This was getting through operational learning. This process sucks. It's scary to us. We don't want to be involved in it. Even if like we've gotten good at like not just saying, hey, you messed up your shit can, you're still dragging me through this process and it's not comfortable. I don't get anything out of it. And then the folks that own this process are going, yeah, we're not getting anything out of it either. Let's fix that. Let's work on that. And so they did. They worked on that. And as we get to this point of the actual conversation we were having, a really smart cookie in this organization was basically saying, you know, sometimes incident investigation gets us where we need to go. We said this with root cause. Sometimes root cause gets us where we need to go, but sometimes it doesn't. Yeah, there you go. Blended approach. If you have something go wrong in your organization, are you going to do an incident investigation? I bet you are. And like, I know people out there are going to say, Sam said incident investigation and incident investigation is an icky word. And I don't like that word any better than you do, but that's what we call it. So let's live in reality here and talk about things the way that we talk about things, at least currently. Right. Let's a post-event learning review. That's probably easier on no one's clutching their pearls when I say that. But we're talking real world application moving forward here. How do we actually do this stuff? That's it. Right. That incident investigation, when we are applying human and organization performance in our organization, when we're leading through those principles, through that operating philosophy, we've improved that process to where it's gone from kind of working to working pretty stinking good for us. And then we also understand that it's not always going to take us where we need to go. It's not always the tool. Right? It's a tool in our toolkit of operational learning, just like learning teams, just like root cause, just like maybe even asking why and asking why five magical times. All of those things are in our little tool belt. Just because you add a new tool to the tool belt doesn't mean that you have to trash all your other tools. Right? Just because you decide that, like, listen, I love my Snap-on stuff, But I've seen these icon things out there. Have you seen these videos? Yeah, I sit on planes a lot, and I like watching these wrench tests and stuff. Yeah, the little icons. I think they people are buying them at Harbor Freight. Just because I got that fancy pants, I've had icons. Right, we've got icons. That doesn't mean I can't throw a nice little snap-on wrench in there too, just in case. Yeah. So let's recap some of that kind of story that I've shared with you a little bit. Is that the organizations that I'm talking about in this particular case? Like, we started by growing what we would consider better beliefs and assumptions, right? Growing that operating philosophy as human and organizational performance, as we define it, right? It's not all of this and none of that. It's a little bit of everything. Just because we decide that we want to humanize our approaches, that doesn't mean that we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater back to our first bullet point. That doesn't mean that we're going to throw away or trash all the good work that we've done and the good work that is still working really well for us. We improved processes. We said, you know, this incident investigation process, it's clunky and it's not working all that well. And it really incentivizes us to blame the last person that touched it. And really what we should do is we should move that lever to the other side, right? Let's really understand that if we get to the point of saying we need disciplinary action, we want to make damn sure that we actually have a performance problem. We want to make damn sure that we've got a performance problem. So let's move that to the other side. Instead of saying blame's going to fix this for us, let's understand that blame makes it really hard to learn, especially when we apply blame where we do not need to apply blame, which in a lot of the cases with these particular procedures is always because it's the first step in the process. What can we do? Let's put that on the other side. Let's seek to understand to begin with. Let's understand context right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. Let's start with the assumption of good intent, that people are not the problem. Right? Were you going to find a person problem every now and again? Sure. Are you going to have a performance problem every now and again? Sure. Yep. But that's the rarity in our work world. So let's start by moving that to the other side of the process, right? Through operational learning, let's improve this process. Let's make it friendlier for those that it's actually supposed to help, right? This learning and improving over time, helping those that live with this operational reality in our work world. So let's understand that it takes us a lot of times that we're going to find that, you know, this process, that process, it might take us where we want to go. But then when it doesn't, you know, let's use a different tool, whether that's, hey, we did this incident investigation, didn't quite get us where we need to go. As an organization, you know, as folks that understand some of this stuff, I don't know. I'm thinking we might need to do a little bit of root cause here. Maybe we need to do root cause and some learning teams around this, or maybe we just need to do some learning teams around this. Or, you know, this is a really low level something. Yep, let's do, we have some things that we have to do around investigation. Let's capture that who, what, when, or how. Let's do that real fast and let's just jump over into a learning team and see if we can improve some of this stuff. You see where I'm going? I hope that it's not this or that or all of this and none of that and none of this and all of that. These things do play very nicely together when you take this approach of blending, this hybrid approach, this blended approach, as we've been kind of chatting about it. All right, so it does work well. I don't think that we need to throw out the good things that we've done. I know I'm keep hitting back on those key bullet points that we crafted together at the beginning of this, but it's important. It's important. So another story. And so I've talked a bit about post-event and some of these kind of key things that we can do. We can just actually bring a lot of this together. What's working well for us? What's not working so well? How do we bring this together? How do we take the good work that we've done? And then, yeah, of course, maybe declutter the stuff that's not working so well for us. Let's offload some of the things that are just crap. Yeah, but we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. See what I'm doing here? I'm going back to those bullet points. Yeah, those are me and you. We did those together, right? Right here at the beginning of this thing. And let's make something that's bespoke for our organization that works well for us. Nothing is sacred. Ding, ding. See where I'm going? Yeah, we're pulling all this together. Now, I've been talking about it, though, mostly through this post-event lens, because it's a really good example, because I saw this question the other day talking about, like, well, does this mean that we don't do any of this other stuff that we've done? Because this thing's kind of working for me. That's kind of dumb. You just tell me to throw that away. I'm not. And if anybody is, shame, but maybe a bit misguided. Let's talk maybe pre-event. So another conversation I was having the other day with several people around observations, and I know observations tend to leave us a bit of ick in our world, because observations have been very parent-child. So here's a bit of a story, and I've got to get out of here soon and get to the airport, so I don't want to cut this short, because I think this is a very important tactical conversation to have, like my corporate buzzword use, tactical. Synergistic approaches to human and organizational performance. I'm going to say this, and then somebody's going to take those bullet points that we just pulled together, right, you and I, and then they're going to plug this conversation into AI, and then maybe in a week from now, we're going to see something that says something like synergistic approaches to operationalizing human and organizational performance. Synergy obtained through blended approaches to, and you're going to see it on Amazon for like $49, some AI-generated book. Remember, this was us, though. This is me and you. We're coming up with these things. So when you see that book pop up and it's not for me and you, then you know you heard it. You heard it here first. But back to our point here about like pre-event kind of learning things and observation programs. So same thing, very similar, right? We've got that operating philosophy. We've got those assumptions and beliefs that, you know, that take us down this path of like humanizing our approaches, of creating an environment in which operational learning is possible, getting good at that, really good at leading through those. Now it's likely, you know, we're doing operational learning. We're improving those processes, you know, working internal to an organization. I've seen this play out multiple times. We're going, hey, look, we've got this observation program. We put a bunch into that sunk cost. And we don't want to just jettison that right now. We feel like it's doing something. Let's seek to understand that. How's this thing working? Is it working well? Is it crap in, crap out? Or do we have some good stuff in there? What do we do with all this stuff? Because in the past, we've taken this and we've made demands and we said, hey, go out and do these observations and do this many of them and do this many of them every single week or every single month or before the next performance review meeting or else, because maybe you won't get your bonus or maybe you'll get disciplined. And then, okay, we're learning about this more. Now we're seeing that, okay, so we have to do 40 of these things a month or some wacky number like that we pulled out of the sky, plucked out of the thin air here. And what we're seeing is, like I said, we got like zero observations, day before they're due, like 40 observations. Okay, that's kind of weird. Okay, we're seeing that, okay, we're pulling out, air quotes here, trending. Every single one of these things is a PPE, a barrier tape, lack of situational awareness, PPE, barrier tape, housekeeping, PPE, housekeeping, barrier tape. Well, that's weird. Okay, let's go do some learning teams around these things. Let's do some operational learning. Let's understand where the value is in this thing. Is there value? All right. What's that look like for us? Well, okay. Let's treat our people like adults, because that's some of the first conversation that we have around observation programs in our work worlds. I've asked many executives this, and it always gives me like a weird kind of look at first until it sinks in. But observations are almost always, I will say always, done down to those nearest to the work. They're built just almost always on a parent-child relationship. Of the farther we go up in the organization, the more I know about your job, and I'm coming out there to tell you how to do your job. I'm not saying there's not value in coaching. I'm not saying there's not value in showing me. I'm not saying there's not value in teaching me. But how encouraged would it be for that frontline mechanic, that operator, that maintenance employee? Can that maintenance employee pick up one of those observation cards and come into the C-suite and do an observation on the executive team? And the answer is hell no. What's that person got to do telling me how to do my job? They feel the same way. What's this person doing coming out here in their fancy loafers with their toe caps on because they forgot their boots? Sure, you just don't own them. And that crisp brand new FR shirt that you just took out of the package. What the hell are you doing coming out here telling me how to do this? I've been doing this for 40 freaking years. You see where I'm going with this, all right? So how do we improve that? So some of what we saw in these kind of more blended hybrid approaches. Okay, let's strip out all of this like human behavior is the problem stuff out of our cards. Let's go out and use this as more of a curiosity-driven tool, like seek to understand normal work tool. Okay, that's cool. Let's do that. Maybe even throw in some better questions, or maybe just not give folks all that many questions at all. If any, ooh, scary. No little bubbles to fill in with pencils to put through a Scantron. No little buttons to click on the phone that then gives us that trending that is always the same. What do you mean? Yeah, let's rebuild that. We've already got time and space reserved for it. Let's pull out the minimum. Let's pull out the blame, shame part of this. Let's pull out the or else part of it. Let's build this tool with the folks that we want to use it. Let's build it around curiosity. Okay, check, check, check. We've done that. Okay, cool. All right, now use it. You use it. Break it. Tell me where it's not working. All that kind of sort of stuff. Build in some feedback loops. into that, like, hey, you experienced an observation. How was that for you as the person on the other side of that observation? Yeah. As the observer, did you feel like you learned something that you didn't know before? Right. And we're going to give you plenty of time to do this stuff. Just to go wander around, be curious. And we're not going to do this down through our organization. We're going to do this up, down, sideways, all over. If a frontline employee wants to have that conversation with the executive and say, hey, teach me about what you do, we encourage that. And we want you to do that. Right. It's not just me doing this down through to you and telling you that you're full of crap. I've got a card that tells me how to do your job, right? So you see how through operational learning, we're starting to bring that process into a bit more of a blended approach, you know, because we need that direct look at how things are going sometimes. You can't always capture that through sitting in a conference room doing a learning team. You know, we have this bit of a tool that we call learning explorations, where we do that more hit and run rapid. But a lot of times we're pulling people in real quick and be like, hey, teach me about this. You know, are there things that we need to learn more about here? Or we're wandering around in shops and fields that we're not actually seeing, like, this is how this actually happens. But observations do give us that bit of window as we're kind of walking around. As we're kind of walking around being curious. No card, no nothing, just being a bit curious. Now, where this starts to become even that much more blended, it's back to that question of what do we do with this stuff? Well, what we did is we took this stuff and we went looking for things that sounded learning rich in the things that our leaders, our supervisors, our support folks, our frontline employees were doing around observations, that our executives were doing around. Again, this is not me doing this to you down through, down to. This is all of us doing this. We're taking a peek. We're taking a peek at how things are going. Yeah, so we would look for things where we go, ooh, that sounds really learning rich. Maybe it's only one of those. Maybe it's not even enough to go a little blip on what we might call a trend in these kind of more old school observations. But that sounds really interesting, or that sounds really sketchy. We need to go maybe do some learning teams around this. We need to go do some pre-event operational learning. So what we did is we really started, and we completely restructured that process, as you kind of heard there. Right. And this is not telling you just to go do that. You need to go figure out how this works well for you if you even want to keep that thing. The organization I lived in, we had to keep it and we needed to keep it. And I was pissed that we were going to keep it. But then we kind of learned more. Our supervisors, our leaders, even our frontline employees, after we kind of tweaked that with them, they appreciated it. We had larger numbers of observations than we ever had before when we were making demands. Our folks were enjoying the conversations that they were having. We were giving them plenty of time to do that. But what we did with the output side of that is that we used it for starting points for pre-event operational learning. Because that's always a wild question, right? To me, again, back to things that I hear in the back of my head that maybe I don't say out loud all the time. We like to think like, hey, everybody gets this, it's super duper easy. Just go pick some stuff and do some pre-event operational learning. And everybody goes, but where? But where? But where? and in the back of my head, it's, well, you've got all kinds, you're collecting all kinds of data points in your organization. If you've restructured, recrafted that air quotes or observation program, and you're getting really interesting kind of blips on that little thing of like, hey, this is sketchy. Boop. Boop. Hey, this is kind of weird. Boop. Hey, this is going really well and it shouldn't go this well. Boop. It's like radar. It's telling beep, beep. Or is that sonar? I don't know. I guess if it was sonar, it'd have more of like a beep, 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 right? You've got those things happening out there already. Use those. Use those as starting points for pre-event learning. Go out and have interesting conversations. Do some learning explorations. Go, I don't know. No one's really said that there's a real problem there, but just seeing it and maybe my spidey senses are tingling a little bit, or maybe I did go around and maybe walk through some of that work and it seemed kind of, it just looked kind of off. Go have interesting curiosity-driven conversations, well-intended curiosity-driven conversations with folks, and see if you hear some stuff that makes the hair on your arm stand up a little bit. See if you hear some stuff that makes your ears stand up a little bit. So here, if you hear some stuff, we'll go, ooh, that's interesting. Starting points. That's starting points for pre-event operational learning. So to summarize again a little bit of this story, this particular organization that I worked internal to, and I've had experienced this with others, and they've approached these in different ways, whether they're using this type of observation, that type of observation, this really fancy pants observation program that comes from a very large company that you would know, that I will not say because I like having a house. I don't want to get sued. But on and on and on. I've seen this play out in a variety of different ways with some key ideas here that we don't treat our employees like children. This is something that we do together. We're going to redesign the system with them. We're going to figure out what that looks like. And then we find that we're getting actually good stuff going in because we're not making them just click boxes. They're telling us the story of normal work from their day-to-day kind of experience. They're seeing operational reality play out in real life through what we would call an observation. It's kind of the peek behind the curtain into the inner workings. You're seeing how the sausage is made in real time. Right, so we're getting good stuff coming in, and then we're using those as opportunities not to demand, you do more, do more, do more, we'll trend, and then we'll send out newsletters about how you need to pay more attention and wear your gloves. We're using those as opportunities to do pre-event learning, so starting points for pre-event learning. Again, really hybrid, blended approach. Think about that. That may be a traditional observation program that we've got in our organization, probably came through some type of BBS something, and we've probably taken that. And as organizations, we like to simplify, 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 which usually equals bastardize. And then we say, we need more, 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 because more equals better. And then we're going to take more, 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 more equals better. How do we get there? We demand that people do it, because if they don't do it, we're not going to give them their bonus. And then not only are we not going to give their bonus, if they don't do enough for 2 months in a row, we're going to fire them. And of course, people are just giving you crap. So we restructured that. And we blended that approach. We've really restructured this approach with those that have to use it through these better beliefs and assumptions. And then we blended that approach with learning teams or some form of operational learning, where we take that and say, well, those, there's a really good repository. If we can get good info in, we can look at those little blips on that radar and say, well, that's a great opportunity. That's a great opportunity. Oh, there's a quick fix. We can go fix that right now. Let me go talk to Bob, who works with that, and or Jane that does that, because they know a ton about this. Hey, what should we do here? This was coming up on the observation stuff, and this seems like a really good thing that we could do. What needs to be done? Well, we should do that. We should move that 4 foot that way. And if you move that 4 foot that way, then we don't. Okay, let's just move that 4 foot that way. Boom. Quick fix. Pretty cool. Or quick improvement at the very least, at the very least. Or we're looking at it and we're going, ooh, that's super interesting. That seems interesting. Let me go have a chat with some of these. We need to do a learning. Let's do a learning team. In fact, let's do a couple different learning teams with a couple different groups that share this same system problem issue. And let's see what we can come up with to improve it. Blended. Hybrid approach. So there's a couple stories. I can keep going, and maybe I will in another episode as we kind of continue this conversation, because I think we need to have this conversation. I think it's important, especially with a lot of kind of the shit throwing that I see on the internet of like, well, Hop just says do Hop and then everything else is magic and you just don't do anything else. You just throw away your lockout tagout program. You don't need a confined space permit. You don't even need a safety management system. Just don't blame people and all will be well. That is not what at least myself or any of the folks that I hang out with in this community are saying. I think it's bespoke, and I think you got to figure it out, and I think you need to take those things and you need to see what's working well for you. Do you remember the bullet points that we talked about before? I'm not even going to try at this point because I've got to get out of here and go to the airport. But I think those bullet points are important. We said something along the lines of, maybe I will try. Let's see. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Hop doesn't mean that you just gut everything that's working well for you. I want to normalize the duh. Can we just say duh? Like, yeah, it doesn't mean that you just say, we don't need safety management system anymore. Nope. That's not it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Leading through Hop, getting really good at operational learning, it informs the design of our safety management systems. It informs the design of our HR systems. It informs the design of our continuous improvement systems. It informs the design of on and on and on and on and on. It helps us do those things with the people that have to use them so we can make them better together. Now, what was the other one? The other one was continually improving operational reality through a focus on operational learning. That's pretty good. And I think it ties in to the third one, right? We're on number three. I hope you got the notes, because I did not take notes as we were pulling these things together. I did not take the notes. And you can tell. You can definitely tell. But the third one was micro-experimenting your way towards what works best for you. That's the way I rephrase that one, at least once we got here. Micro-experiment your way towards what works best for you, your people, and your organization. And last but not least, nothing is sacred, including Hop. Everything warrants deep and meaningful conversation, debate, dissent, because I think that's how we get to that place of that meaningful blended approach. I think that's how we get to the place of this is how this stuff plays together. This is what works well here, and this is what works well there. We're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater, as we said. We're taking the good bits, the good work that we've done. Maybe we're stripping some stuff out of there that's just blame rich. We're just like, maybe we're moving that lever to the other side of our process. Maybe we shouldn't blame first. Maybe we should understand. And when we go down the path of understanding, we usually find out that most of the time, almost always, we don't have a person problem. We've got a condition problem. We've got this thing sets people up for failure problem. We've got a, hey, if any other person did this, the same thing would happen. We don't have a front, right? You see, I think that's how we get where we want to go. I think that's how we move forward. I think that's at least internal to organizations, sharing with you how I see companies generate success with this stuff. They don't say, it's all of this. We're just doing BBS. Or, I don't got no time for all that hop crap. We're just doing what we've always done and praying to God that people don't die. No. I think we're, maybe back to the continuous improvement conversation, I think we're taking the things that work well for us. And we're looking into the future going, where do we want to go? What beliefs and assumptions do we need to get to where we want to go? What tools, what approaches, what strategies do we need to get where we want to go? Is some of the stuff that we've done in the past, maybe is it time to sunset some of that because it's just not working well for us? Sure. Some of those things that we've done in the past, is it working okay for us? Is it some of it salvageable? Is some of those things that we that thing can actually be really stinking useful? Yeah, I think so. Do we need to bring in some new thoughts, some new ideas, some new approaches, some new techniques? Yeah, I think so. If we want to get where we want to go, I think we need to blend those things together, those hybrid approaches to human and organizational performance. I think that's how we move forward. I think that's how we move forward effectively. At least. So there you go. There's some stories. I'm going to miss a flight if I don't get the heck out of here. So I'm going to have to go at this point. I was just so excited to have some of this conversation. I hope it's been highly valuable to you in a tactical sense, not in a just do the principles, everything will be fine, because that's not true. Or just do the things we've always done, because that's everything's going to be fine. That's not true. Throwing away the good work that we've done, that seems kind of dumb. Yep. Sticking with all the good work that we've done, never thinking about how we improve or taking better care of the people in our organizations, that seems just as dumb. It's the blended approach. It's the blended approach. That's how organizations are successful. They create a bespoke strategy. They blend and they improve and they micro experiment and they try storm and they go, that didn't work. Let's not do that one. Let's tweak and tune this and on and on and on. That's how we get where we want to go. So I hope this conversation was helpful for you. Just some stuff that's been rattling around in my brain over the past couple of weeks that I just had to get it out before I go sit on a plane or maybe my head would explode. Let me know. Let me know. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. And if you need a hand with any of this stuff, everything that we do, my time spent with organizations, we're going to talk about HOP. Yep, we're going to talk about HOP in real life. Yep, we're going to talk about how we operationalize HOP. And then on the consulting side of the work that I do, I spend time with organizations talking about how we do exactly what we've just talked about. There's so many other stories. And again, I think I'll share some of them with you maybe over some future episodes. But if I miss my flight, I hope you guys really enjoyed this because I miss my flight for you. But that's it. Until next time, everybody, thehopnerd.com, thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you need to get in touch with me, you need a bit of a hand. That's all I've got. I love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.